The rain report for April 25th, 2014 will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Skype-enhanced studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this solution for beleaguered program chairs of ham radio clubs and non-radio clubs, too, for that matter. It's called Skype. If you've been the program chair of your organization, you readily understand the challenges of rounding up good local programs for your club meetings. With the advent of Skype, your organization literally has both audio and video access to the world. Two people who use Skype regularly to record interviews are Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, producer of the Ham Radio Now audio and video podcast, and Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP. Here's an excerpt from their conversation from last fall, in which Gary and Hap compared notes on what Skype is doing to revolutionize radio club meetings and the need for a Skype program presenter database. The first to speak is Hap-Holly.
Talk about what radio clubs are missing out on today by not incorporating Skype to bring celebs and non-celebs into their radio club meeting instead of having to constantly be digging around for local talent, which if you're in Chicago, L.A., New York, that's one thing. You've got a lot of hams there and a good technical base. But if you're in Iowa City, Iowa, or Bend, Oregon, it seems to me that Skype would be a tremendous tool to make your club programs that much better.
It's a very interesting concept. And Bob Heil over at Ham Nation and Gordon West and George Thomas offer themselves to radio clubs via Skype as guests. I am tempted to issue one of my signature proclamations that tend to get me in trouble with the ham community and say that the reason that hams don't use modern technology for bringing people in to their club meetings and using them as program material is that most hams have both feet firmly planted in the mid to perhaps late 1990s. So the technology isn't available in their minds. Some of that is true. Some of it is that where hams hold their club meetings, they don't necessarily have the facilities to be able to receive a good internet signal and project the audio and video to something that their membership can see. Now, in a lot of cases, it could just be a computer monitor. If you've got 10 or 15 people in a club, and a lot of clubs are that size, you don't need a big projector. A decent-sized computer monitor would do the job, and that wouldn't be that hard to bring in. So the question is, can you get a good enough internet signal to have a continuous Skype conversation? And good Skype video requires about a megabit to 2 megabits to make a good connection. Audio connection is less than 100 kilobits. I'm looking at our audio connection here, and we're going back and forth to each other at less than 70 kilobits most of the time. So that's pretty easy. But the video takes a bunch more for a good video signal. But the real reason, I think, is that we don't have a program, an infrastructure, a way for people to find each other, clubs to find guests, guests to present themselves to clubs. There isn't a registry or a way for people to find each other. So anyone at a club who wanted to find a guest like that is going to have to scour the magazines for someone who wrote an article and make an individual contact and see if that person has the Skype video capabilities to be able to make themselves available. Maybe that's something the league could put together, an online registry of people who would be willing to be program presenters via Skype, and someplace the club's program chairman, which is about 98% the vice president, I think. That's why no one wants to be the vice president, because they make you find all the people to do the club presentations, where they can go and find these folks.
The league has all these volunteer attorneys. Why can't they build a directory of people that are available? Gosh, with the internet today, it would seem to be a real doable project today.
I was going to say, it would be possible, and it wouldn't be hugely expensive, I wouldn't think. Well, you and I are in the business of doing that to some extent when we look for guests. I'm not sure where you go scour for guests, but you found me through the article I wrote in QST, the review I did on the Anytone Radio.
I do a lot of listening on the ham bands, and I find a lot of good ideas and a lot of, yeah, I just read Gary Pierce's article. Oh boy, that looks real interesting. And well, hey, you got an email address for him? Yeah, it's kn4aq@arvn.tv. And, you know, I send you an email, and 12 hours later, I'm interviewing you. How easy how simple, how uncomplicated that is.
But you got lots of experience in recruiting that kind of participation and involvement in your programs. A ham who recruits for 7 or 8 programs in a year for a club, because most of them have a Christmas party and a lot of them take the summer off, they don't have that expertise. So they need help. And a registry would be a real advantage. And yeah, just like I want to bring people to the masses, thousands, but a lot of folks who have done something interesting would be perfectly happy to talk to 15 or 20 or 30 people gathered at a club meeting. And the advantage to that is it would be two-way interactive. I don't do a program live, at least not yet. Some of the live programs do have chat rooms and ways that members of the audience can ask questions, but it's still fairly limited. It's not a real good two-way exchange. But if you've only got 20 or 30 people at your club meeting and anybody's got a question, it's easy to ask that question and get an answer right from the person doing the talk. And often those are the best parts of the program.
And you're talking about sometime it dependent upon where the club meets. Well, heck, Wi-Fi is becoming almost ubiquitous in urban areas of the country. And the radio club I'm a member of here in Chicago, North Shore Radio Club, got Wi-Fi where they meet. Assuming they can get the necessary throughput, they can now bring anybody that has a Skype name and will give them time and program. Your Gordon West and your Bill Pasternak that don't travel, or if they do, you pay. You can bring them right there. You don't have to pay for lodging. You don't have to pay for their dinner. Wow, the price is right. And you got the same caliber of speaker, both audio and video, that you'd have if they were right there present, but minus the gazillion dollars to get them there and to feed them and house them while they are there.
Yes, we should be having lots more of that happening. And maybe over the next year or so, hams will realize that, first of all, the folks that can give those programs, not everybody realizes that they could, that they've got what it takes to present a program like that. A lot of times, one of your local advantages is that you can arm twist somebody for a good long while until they agree to give a program, and then they do, and often it's a really good program. You don't have that capability when you're talking to somebody on the other side of the country. But then you're also going to be looking for someone that's probably done something a little bit more spectacular than most of the hams locally are doing, something that has gotten them a little bit of national attention.
You're listening to a conversation about utilizing Skype to bring programs from around the world to a local radio club. We'll conclude our excerpt from this discussion between Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, producer of the Ham Radio Now podcast, and Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report, which will be occupying booth 329 again this year at the Dayton Hamvention, May 16, 17, and 18 in suburban Dayton, Ohio.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
I'm not sure what kind of experience you've had with this. The experience that I'm having, and to some extent even the folks on a big network like Twit have, is that people out there do not have television production facilities in their houses. They may have a laptop that's got a webcam on it, but they won't have a good mic like I'm talking into and you are. They won't have good lighting. The resultant picture and sound that you get, and especially the sound, is fairly terrible. It's not hard to get decent lighting. You just take a desk lamp and shine it in your face to the point where you're kind of uncomfortable with how bright it is in your eyes, and you've got good lighting. If you want to avoid deep shadows, get two of them, put them one on each side. But the audio is a problem. Now, the audio doesn't have to be a problem. There are good headsets available for under $40. And you probably ought to have one if you're going to do much Skype anyway and not talk into the little mic that's buried somewhere in the back of your laptop in your room that's only got one piece of furniture in it, so it sounds like you're in a jail cell or in a reverb chamber. But if you look at some of the Skype interviews that I've done, and even some of the guests that are on the Twit Network, pretty darn terrible acoustics and not all that good video. So you got to be able to put up with something like that if you're going to invite someone in. And maybe if they do 5 or 10 or 20 of them a year, they'll realize make a better presentation of themselves if they just paid a little bit of attention to the studio quality of their transmission system.
There got to be plenty of hams, relatively speaking, who, given the opportunity and given the platform where they would be given programs via Skype, they would go out and buy themselves a white screen for the wall of the Radio Shack and a $70 headset like what I use here to speak to and listen to what you and my other interviewees have to say, and a little laptop computer, you're on your way. It really doesn't take much. And again, that's where a helpful audio video podcast or netcast produced by the likes of you would give someone some pointers on how-tos on how to do it. Let's provide a registry, but also let's provide a 15-minute how-to on how to do it, how to put it all together. With the equipment we have today that is as close as your Walmart or Best Buy, you actually can pull off a decent production. I don't have any stuff on my walls here. I'm in an 8x10 room that's got four doors, one to the garage, one to the boiler room, one to outside, one to the kitchen. So it is by no means optimum. However, because of the headset and using the headset microphone the proper way, it doesn't sound half bad.
It's not hard to do, but it's one of those things that it takes a little bit of time, a little bit of money, and, you know, of course, hams are cheap. And we're all very busy and we have other priorities, so just getting that done has to be a high enough priority to reach the top of the list so that you go to Best Buy and pick up the headset or order it on Amazon and have it here. If that's not one of the important things to you, then it just might not happen, at least for your first three or four presentations to club meetings.
But if you're motivated, if you're putting on a presentation for Joe Schmo's Radio Club in Kazuzuki, Montana, they're going to be so happy to have someone who's real knowledgeable about a given subject that if the presentation doesn't look like Ham Radio Nation, it will still be worthwhile. I just think it's a wonderful tool that I don't know why we're not seeing more of it being used nationwide, worldwide.
It's a big world, and we're all connected now. You're going back to that little postage stamp picture that I was complaining about a while ago. And I was thinking it was terrible, but most people were thinking, wow, I can get television on my computer over the internet. This is awesome. And perfectly willing to look at that little jerky postage stamp picture. So you're right. The folks at the club meeting will be happy to put up with whatever you send. I think that the nail that you hit and didn't realize it was when you said people who are motivated to present these programs. I don't think very many people are. They have to be talked into it. People who are motivated to do something are people that are selling something. And for the most part, we don't want them to be making pitches to our radio club because they're not going to be making honest presentations. They're going to be making, biased isn't the right word, but self-interested presentations about whatever it is that they're selling.
An ulterior motive.
Yeah, and not everybody who has something to sell in ham radio is going to give you a line of BS about it. In fact, a lot of people who have things to sell, because we are hams first, salesman second in most cases, maybe salesman third, fourth, fifth, or whatever, probably to the detriment of our ability to sell, would still much rather tell you the truth about something than give you a line in the hopes that you'll buy it, both the line and the product. But there's also that deal where we amateur hucksters are really bad at being salesmen and hucksters. And so we just do a terrible job of pushing too hard. And when I talk to folks at Hamfest about their products, I get that group that will give me very straight answers about what it is they've got and how they came up with it and what it does. And then those folks that are just terrified that if the truth ever got out or they think I'm trying to do a 60 minutes on them, they have to give me a song and dance. And they do a terrible job of it. And I pretty much stopped doing programs on equipment from the bottom to the top, although I'm much more willing to do programs on equipment at the bottom than at the top, just because I want to avoid that. It's uncomfortable for me and them and the audience.
That concludes this conversation between Ham Radio Now podcast producer Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, and Rain's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from the Rain Report, www.therainreport.com. See you at the Hamvention.